I have a real precious thought, message on my soul I'd like to share with you. My text is Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 7. The memory of the just is blessed. Now the rest of it, I'm not going to dwell on that. But the name of the wicked shall rot. I don't want to dwell on that part. I want to dwell on the first part of this scripture. The memory of the just is blessed. That word blessed there has different applications. And one of them is the memory of the just is a treasure. And you know, we all of us are living this life, in this earthly life, and we're leaving memories behind us.
Yeah.
Every one of us. And a just, godly, holy, righteous, faithful saint of God leaves memories after they leave this life that are cherished and enjoyed and a treasure to our hearts. As another scripture, Psalms 112, I want to read, notice a little bit in this. I'm thinking about the memory of the just, the saints of God. And perhaps as we dwell on this thought, maybe you can remember people, saints. And we'd just be glad for you to have a little time if you want to make mention of them. I have several I want to make mention of. Psalms 112. I just want to read several verses here. This scripture is quoted in the New Testament in 2 Corinthians, I believe, and speaking about giving. Verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house. That's not old gold and silver and money and everything. There's something else besides that. Wealth and riches. Spiritual wealth. Faith. Love. Happiness. Peace. Victory. Holiness. Righteousness. Godliness. Those are the wealth and riches that's in his house. And his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious, full of compassion, and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be moved. He will not be destroyed. He will not die. He will not pass away forever. It is just death comes and life goes, but that's not the end of the righteous man. Praise the Lord. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He's in a book that I've got. I'm going to get another scripture in Malachi to go along with this. But the righteous will be in everlasting. He'll be remembered forever by the Lord and by other saints. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. You want to be one of those? His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. That's in 2 Corinthians, one of those chapters there. So this is quoted in the New Testament. I like to make notice of Old Testament scriptures and how the New Testament applies them. Now I want to go to Malachi, a beautiful text that has cheered and comforted my heart much. Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. What's the jewels going to be? Godly, righteous, holy, faithful people. In that day when I make up my jewels, I'll spare them as a man spares his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Now, I remember a day when this scripture was lit up in my mind in such a wonderful way that I'll never forget it. It was during one of Guthrie's assembly meetings years ago. I had an aunt, my mother's sister, Evelyn, and she was a widow at that time. Her husband, I believe her husband, her first husband was Brother Rule Gibson's father. That was his father and mother, Darius and Evelyn Gibson. Now that's some of my precious memories. People like that, godly people. Anyway, I was there. We lived in Guthrie at that time, and so I was over at Aunt Evelyn's house, and she had a couple there that was from Missouri that was staying, and so while I was there, we were enjoying a visit. And this couple's name was I might have to have a little help here. Brother Ed and Sister Carrie Tomlinson. I don't know how many of you might remember them. Anyway, we were sitting there in Aunt Evelyn's home where she was living, and we were talking about the good things of God. Our conversation was, it was just spiritual. And I remember, as we talked, one would say something, another would say, and we were just enjoying talking about, and all of a sudden, it just came to me. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And that just, it just went all through me. The Lord is listening to our talk. That made a very great, precious memory in my mind. This man, Brother Ed Tomlinson, he was one of the most spirit-filled men that I ever met. He lived over in the hills of Missouri. He had a little chapel over there that they had meeting in that little chapel. I was there at different times. I remember one evening I came over there, and I think my wife was with me. Anyway, we came over there for service. It was a little bit late getting there. So his chapel, his house was over here on one hill, and the chapel was over here up on another little hill. And I remember we came in the kind of the side door. There had a door on the front, and then it had this side door. And I come in that, and Brother Tomlinson was down praying. They were having prayer. Oh, I tell you, that man, if you ever heard a man pray, I'll never forget his prayers. His arms were waving, his face was looking up toward God, he was pouring out his heart with such power in prayer. Whoa, I tell you, that just filled my soul as I came in. And Brother Murphy Allen, he's another one of my special memories. Brother Murphy Allen was one of the ministers of the Saint Menace for a number of years. Brother Murphy Allen was bowed there beside him, and he was agreeing in prayer, and I remember what he was saying, Mighty God. And Brother Tomlinson was pouring out his heart, and Brother Murphy said, Mighty God, Mighty God. Oh, I tell you, dear one, those are precious memories to us. People, praying people. I remember another time we come to visit Brother and Sister Tomlinson. It was late at night, and we got there late. I don't know why we were so late getting there. But they were having worship in their house. And so we come walking up to the door, and I looked in there, and Brother Tomlinson was in prayer. Would not go in and disturb his prayer. So we could hear what he was pouring out his heart to God. He's one of the most wonderful praying men that I ever met. I love to hear him pray. He just poured out his whole being in prayer. And he was a man that was filled with the Spirit of God. And I remember him telling about how the Lord filled him with the Spirit of God. He was at a meeting, and he had been praying for several months that the Lord would fill him with the Spirit of God. And he kept praying and kept praying. And they had meeting that night there. And after the service, Brother Tomlinson went out. And he was talking with some people. And he had had prayer. He had sought the Lord that night. And while he was talking with these people, the Spirit of God just came down and filled his whole being. And there was a couple of fellas there, and they had been kind of arguing a little bit. And he had kind of, Brother Tomlinson saw they was in some kind of a turmoil. And he had walked up and he had said to one of them, he had said, "Now you need to just let the Lord take over and take care of this and just commit this to the Lord." And that's when the Holy Spirit came down and filled him. And he just began to rejoice. And both of those men looked at him. Oh, they backed off. They didn't know what hardly to think. And he went out there into the front part of the chapel where the other people were gathering. And he walked up and he says, "Let's pray." And he started pouring out his heart in prayer. Now that's what somebody told me, how that the Holy Spirit, and that man, he preached some, but he taught more than preaching. But he was just a wonderful man. And I remember one time that might have been the same time, just my wife Sylvia and I had been there and spent the night. And so the next morning we slept upstairs. They had an upstairs. So we slept upstairs and I'll never forget, Brother Tomlinson came to the bottom of the stairs to call us, to wake us up, to come on down. And here's what he sang. "The long dark night is past. The morning's come at last. The Holy Spirit is come." That's what he sang. And then he said, "Brother Leslie, come on down." I'll never forget him. He was a Spirit-filled man. The memory of the just is precious. Maybe you could think of some yourself. I'm thinking about another wonderful man. I've got a list of names here. When I was a little boy here at Guthrie, I was a member of the congregation. There was a man that was here quite a bit in camp meetings, and then he finally moved here to Guthrie. And Brother Fred Truitt, the pastor at that time here at Guthrie, and also he was operating the Lord's Print Shop where the Faith and Victory was produced and printed. And Brother Pruitt gave him a room, a side room of the garage, one of the garages there of the house next to Brother Pruitt and his wife moved into that house in later years. But he wasn't living there at that time. Anyway, he gave Brother George Stevenson, this was his name, he gave him that room there. And Brother George Stevenson, he was an old man, but he rode a bicycle. He's a bicycle rider. He'd ride bicycles uptown to get the mail. And anyway, he had this little room here, and he put up a sign over it. He said, on this sign, "I have left all the world to follow Jesus, and this is my little heaven. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd takes care of his sheep." And then he said, had it words, George Stevenson. That man, he could quote poetry. And he not only quoted poetry, but I learned it just by listening to him. There was a poem that from a book, and I got the book. I have the book still. It's a book of blank poetry. Now, when you say blank poetry, there's no rhyme to it. I'm gonna quote some of it and then show you. And it was Course of Time was the name of his book. But it was a book, and it was all poetry. And his name was Robert Pollock. And he was a godly young man back years ago, back in the 1800s, back in the 1700s. But he wrote spiritual things. He wrote about the Bible. He wrote about heaven. And Brother Stevenson introduced that to me because he would quote from that. And this is what I learned just listening to him quote the Bible. Hast thou ever heard of such a book? The author, God Himself. The subject, God, a man, salvation, life, death, eternal life, eternal death, dread words whose meanings have no end. Bright candle of the Lord. Star of eternity, the only star by which the bark of man can navigate the sea of life and gain the shores of bliss securely. This ray, this holy ray of light. On the night of time, mercy took down and stood casting on the dark her gracious bow. Evermore beseeching men with tears and earnest sighs to read, believe, and live. He's talking about the Bible. That's what that was about. And many to his voice they gave heed, and as a true and faithful witness for the eternal Amen with branchy palms, surround the fount of life and drink the streams of immortality, forever happy and forever young. I learned that just listening to him. I was greatly influenced in my life by Brother George Stevenson. And in 1959, it was before I married, and I was living at Guthrie, and Brother Stevenson was living there. We would go, I got to a place, I'd go to the print shop and help them put out the Faith and Victory. And Brother Stevenson, he was there, he was always helping. I'll tell you, we'd have the biggest time with him. He was just a wonderful man. Anyway, in 1959, I was working for the Lord, and I didn't have a regular job, but I was working for the Lord. I'd been to meetings that year in different places. Anyway, come time for Monarch Springs, and I was looking forward to going to Monarch Springs. And the Lord spoke to me one day and He said, I don't want you to go to Monarch Springs at the first. You wait till after the first Sunday before you go. Anyway, that was what was communicated to my mind, that the Lord didn't want me to go to Monarch. And I wasn't disappointed, because I wanted to do the will of God, and He made it very plain that he wanted me to stay home. So I stayed home and was with the saints there in the service that Sunday morning. There was just a little group. Most everybody went to Monarch. So anyway, that afternoon, the word got to me that Brother Stevenson was in trouble. And somebody had come by. He's in his little room, and he was groaning and suffering. He had a terrible condition of bladder. Now, most of you, probably some of you, know what that involves. That's some of the functions of your body. And he was having trouble releasing that fluid from his body. And that is a very awful thing a man goes through. But anyway, somebody heard him crying and making noises. He was in such awful trouble. And they somehow got him and took him to the hospital. Well, the word got to me that he was in the hospital. And so I went up there to see about him. And he looked at me, he said, Brother Leslie, he said, get me out of here. I don't want to come. I don't want to be in here. I want to trust the Lord. I says, okay, well. So he got up and got his clothes on, and we just walked out. Walked out of the hospital. And I took him down to his room, and I stayed all night with him and praying with him. But he was bad. He was very bad. And I got a hold of some of the folks the next day, and they took him and put him in one of the back bedrooms of the print shop, Faith Publishing House over at Ninth Street. And he passed away that week. There were different ones would come and help take care of him. Dear Brother Stevenson, I'll never forget him. He's buried out here in the cemetery, Summit View Cemetery. He's one of my treasures. I'll never forget him. Someday, I'm going to meet him again. Won't that be wonderful? He won't be the old man that I knew then. He'll be a new being. I don't know what it's going to be like, but brother and sister, boys and girls, everybody, it's going to be worth everything you could ever put in to make heaven your home, be accounted worthy to obtain the resurrection of the dead. That's going to mean a lot. But I have that hope for Brother George Stevenson. There was another old man that came to Guthrie in those few years back when I was young. And his name was Charles Weir. Brother Charles Weir. He had gotten saved at the age of 65 up in the Saints Chapel in Jefferson, Oregon. He had been praying and seeking the Lord for a long time, and somehow he got up there and got in with the saints, and one morning he decided he needed to really get right with God, so he went to the altar. And they prayed with him, and they kept praying, and finally they prayed, and he knew the Lord had forgiven him and saved him. He was so happy. And the different ones had gathered around the altar and were praying with him. And they asked him about it. He said, I know the Lord's forgiven me of my sins and all. But now he said, now I don't want to be born again. And Sister Opal Wilson, there's another one of my treasures. I won't be able to tell everything about everybody, but there was Austis and Opal Wilson, two ministers from California. They were dear to us. They're precious. Sister Opal was there, and Sister Opal said, Brother Weir, if you say that your sins are forgiven and the Lord has saved you, you are born again. And he says, that was good news for me. And he came to Guthrie, and the saints there gave him a little cabin on the saints' ground that's in town, not the one we have here, but gave him that little cabin, you'd call it, I guess, and that's where he lived the rest of his life, most of the rest of his life. And I was very close to him. He and I had some real good times. He was a man. He loved the Bible. He could quote the Bible. And he was just a precious man. Then I'm thinking about Brother Fred Pruitt. You ever read his book, God's Gracious Dealings? You ought to read it if you've never read it. It tells about how God saved him out in New Mexico. Way years ago, the Lord saved him. And he just he was so glad to be saved, and he was looking to the Lord to bless and help him, and one night he went to bed, and there'd been some kind of a disturbance there in the group where they were worshiping, and anyway, he was wondering about that, and there was some false doctrine. I can't remember just what it was all about, but he went to bed that night, and he was thinking about all that confusion, and he just said, "Lord, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? How am I going to handle all this?" And the Lord spoke to him and says, "You need the Holy Spirit to guide you and direct you." And he just lifted his heart. He said, "Lord, fill me with the Spirit of God." And he said, right there in his bed, the Spirit of God came and filled his heart. And he began to lead Brother Pruitt. He led him out of that and led him to Guthrie and finally helped him to be able to get started printing the Faith and Victory and tracts and the gospel, the literature. He was a wonderful brother, wonderful minister. He preached the Word. He had on first Sunday and the third Sunday, they would go to O'Keene, Oklahoma. That's up on Highway 51, off of Highway 51, this side of O'Keene, and down a country road where there was a little country chapel, and they would have morning and afternoon service on first and third Sunday. On second Sunday, he would go to Bristow, where they had a Saints chapel there, and they would have morning and afternoon service there. I've been there with them. And been to O'Keene. And then on fourth Sunday, he would go to Enid. And there they would have morning and afternoon service. Him and Sister Marie Miles. Sister Marie Miles is the next one I have on my list. She was Brother Fred Pruitt's daughter. And she was living in California. She married Carl Miles, and they lived in California, and the Lord called her to preach, called her to the ministry. And Sister Marie was kind of the pastor there at, what's the name of that?
Pomona.
She was the pastor there at Pomona, California. And when in 1954, Brother Pruitt's wife, Sister Mary Pruitt, she wasn't but in her 60s, but she was very bad off, and she passed away. And Brother Pruitt was very sad about that, of course, but Sister Marie came and helped take care of her mother until she died. And then after she died, Brother Pruitt was talking to Sister Marie, and he said, "I don't know what I'm going to do. I need somebody to help me here in the print shop work." And so he didn't just ask her, but he let her know that he was praying for the Lord to send someone. And when she went back to California after the funeral and everything, she said the Lord showed her he wanted her to move to Guthrie to help in the print shop work. And so she didn't know what her husband, he had a job out there. She didn't know what he would do if he found out she was wanting to move to Guthrie. But she finally decided to mention it to him, and she found why he was willing. He said, "I'll find a job back there at Guthrie," and he did. And so they moved to Guthrie. And so she became one of the workers there at the print shop, Sister Anna Marie Miles. And she was a very precious saint of God. We lived next door to her. about the last 6 years of her life when we moved to Guthrie in 1972. Yes, we moved to Guthrie from we'd been in Springfield, Missouri, and Kansas. Anyway, we moved next door to Sister Marie Miles, and so she became very close to us. And then in 1981, the Lord took her to Himself at the age of 67 years old. She is one of my treasures. She is one of my treasures. Now, another one I want to make mention of is my mother. I had a godly mother. She prayed for me. I remember as a little boy, she would go about her kitchen duties praying. I remember that. She taught us to pray. She taught us, she had worship with us. And she taught us to pray. Dear Jesus, help me to be a good little boy. Help me to be what I should be. And, you know, I mean, she taught us how to pray. And anyway, she was a godly woman. And she prayed for me. I remember when I was in high school, my senior year, I remember that I was going liking a girl at school. And I really liked her, and we loved each other, and we would get together while at school. My mom and dad set it down on me as a young boy. You at night, you're at home. You don't go anywhere at night. You stay at home. Unless mom and dad's going with you. Well, I just submitted to that, but I didn't like it. But anyway, I couldn't go with this girl. I couldn't go with her anywhere. Well, I remember one day was last part of the year, last part of my senior year, they had the annual book, Kenny Wisbach, they call him, and they're going to have a little get-together about it, and, you know, where you can sign each other's annual, you know. And so, anyway, I went. I was blessed to be able to go in to that town that night. And then another time, I went to the young people's meeting. I was privileged. My folks let me take the car, and I was a senior in high school. I went to the young people's meeting that Sister Marie Miles had. Now, I wasn't saved at this time, but the Lord had dealt with me, and I knew I wanted to get saved. But I hadn't given up that worldly girl yet. Now, I went to the young people's meeting and stayed a while, and then I left and got away, and I went up to a basketball game was going on, and I knew that she was going to be there. So I went to that basketball game. Nobody else is supposed to know what I was doing. So I went to that basketball game, and I took her to her place and came home. And I got home and walked in the door, and my dad said, "Where you been?" Well, I was so shocked. I didn't think they'd know anything. And I didn't say anything. I just went on into my bedroom. He didn't try to stop me. But I laid there, and I remember. I laid there, and I felt so bad at what I had done. I felt like going in to my mom and dad and just telling them I'm sorry and confessing the whole thing. But I didn't do that. That's probably what I should have done. Anyway, my mother was praying for me. And another time, that year, our basketball team at Guthrie High School one state championship. And the next day after they won that game and won the state championship, basketball, we got to school. We rode a school bus. We got to school and they said, "Everybody's out. Don't have to go to school today." Well, I rode a school bus, so I was in stuck in town and wasn't going to have school. And so this, my girlfriend and two other girls that she was friends with, they had a car. So we all got in this car and we just rolled the country all day. And, oh, we had a wonderful time. My, we were just having a big time. And I was having a lot of fun. And so we finally got back to the town. It's time to go home. Like where the buses were still running because they had grade school and junior high school. So they didn't get out of school, but the high school got dismissed because they got state champ. Well, we got in the bus and we rode home. And I never thought that my mother would have any idea about what I'd been doing that day. So I got off the bus. Bus stopped out at our house. I got off the bus. I'm telling you about my mother, how she influenced my life. And I cherish her memory today. I come in, and the first thing my mother said to me was, "Where you been?" She knew where I'd been. She said, "Leslie, I am praying that God will sicken you out on her." That's what she said. That's all she said. She knew what I'd been doing. I had that kind of a mother. That had a bearing upon me. And I'm thankful and I'm happy that summer I gave up my worldly association, my worldly girlfriend. I gave everything up. I told her that last night after the Kenny Wisbach signing, I took her to her grandparents. They lived down the street from the school. And I told her, I says, "I can't go with you no more." She cried. She wept. I says, "I can't go with you no more." I didn't try to tell her why, but I knew why. Because I knew that she would not be the one for me if I would be saved and living a Christian, godly, holy, righteous, saintly life. Anyway, I got saved that summer. I gave my heart to the Lord. And I thanked the Lord for His blessings in my life. I didn't get sanctified that summer. I went to the altar one night at Monarch that summer, 1956. I went to the altar and Brother Fred Pruitt came down and tried to pray with me and tried to help me. He did his very best and I was trying, but I wasn't making it. And finally I decided that I would just kind of take it by faith. I meant well with it. The Lord knew my heart. And so anyway, that was Monarch. And so I went on home and I was trying to live for the Lord and trying to do His will. And that summer I got a job driving a school bus and I would go between my routes, morning and evening routes, I'd go over to the Saints Chapel a lot of times and I'd spend it in prayer and seeking the Lord. I was wanting to please the Lord. I was wanting to live for the Lord. I was really seeking Him with all my heart. And the fall months passed, and finally it came time for Guthrie Assembly meeting during the Christmas holidays. So I remember we started going to the assembly meeting. And I remember the first Sunday night of that meeting. come time for the message, and Brother Murphy Allen got up. He's another one on my list. He's a godly minister. He got up that night, and the Lord had just given him a scripture, but he didn't even know where it was. And he got up and he'd asked somebody, and old Brother Stevenson told him, was sitting over there, Brother Stevenson told him where the scripture was. Hosea 10:12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up the fallow ground, for it is time for you to seek the Lord until He come and rain righteousness upon you. That was his text. His subject was seeking the Lord until He come and rain righteousness upon you. And I tell you, that man was so anointed with power and inspiration, and it was really wonderful how the Lord blessed Brother Murphy Allen preaching that message. He went over there to Jeremiah 29 and said, "Then shall you seek for me, and you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart." Oh, he just brought it out. And I sat there. I sat on the front seat. And I sat there. And I told myself, I said, when he gets through, I'm going to that altar. And I'm not going to get up until I know I have what God wants me to have. And so, after a while, he said, "Well, let's get a song. And I'd just like to see this altar filled," he said. "I've got it on tape. I listen to it every now and then." Anyway, soon as I was leading the song, I led the song. I never will forget it. Number 400, "Shall I die without a Savior? Shall I lose my precious soul?" I started that song, and then I hit the altar. I didn't care who heard me. I cried, I wept, I prayed, I pled with the Lord, filled me with the Spirit of God. I don't know what all I just poured out my heart. Brother Murphy Allen was up there in the pulpit and said, "Amen, amen." And Brother O.C. Porter, our pastor, he was down there praying with me. And Brother Sam Barton, he was standing up there and put his hand on my head. And amen, amen. And I was just pouring out my heart to the Lord. And then something happened. I tell you, all heaven came down and flooded my soul. Amen. Woo! I come up off of that altar with rejoicing and praising God. I'll never forget the treasure of that Brother Murphy Allen and his ministry. He was a man of God.
Yes, he was.
Oh, yes. Some of you remember him. Oh, praise the Lord. Brother Dryas Gibson. He was my uncle, but he was one of the saint ministers. He preached the truth. He would go out to other churches, other groups, and he would win people to the truth. He was used of the Lord. He was a wonderful brother. And he married my mother's sister, Evelyn Davis. My mother was a Davis, and Evelyn, he married Evelyn Davis, and they had three children. Here's one of them right here, Rule. That's the oldest of their children. And Brother Dryas Gibson was a man of God. Oh, he was an encouragement to me. I have had some of his messages on tape that I've listened to different times. They are precious memories to my heart. Oh, dear ones, these wonderful saints. Brother William McCoy. Oh, he was a pastor at Dayton. And he, after Brother Dryas moved, passed away, and Brother William McCoy married sister my Aunt Evelyn. And they lived at Guthrie for a good while, several years. And he was a real wonderful man of God. I really appreciated him. I loved to hear him pray. There was something about his prayers that was just wonderful. He was a treasure. He's still a treasure to me.
Yeah.
I'll remember him. Brother David Madden. I doubt if any of you remember, sister, you remember Brother David. Brother David Madden, you remember him? Brother David Madden was a wonderful, wonderful man. He was a minister, a young minister, when I first got acquainted with him. And he was an encouragement to me. I remember one time at the Guthrie Camp Meeting, 1956, and he got ready. He worked. He was a carpenter or some kind of a worker there, and he lived in Tulsa. And he had to leave and go back so he could go to work. But he said, "Brother Leslie, keep pressing on." Oh, that just helped me. That was such a comfort to me. And anyway, he was a real, wonderful, godly brother. He was so encouraging. I loved to hear him preach. He would just preach this. I remember this. One message he preached about was, "I am what I am by the grace of God." That was such a wonderful message. Anyway, in 1964, he was at the Tulsa singing. And I have that on tape. Some of the songs that they sang, and then some of the songs he sang. And he had a part, and he told everybody that he was going to make a trip to Africa. And he said, "Well, you might say it might ought to come closer to home, but," he said, "the Lord's Lord willing, I'm going to Africa in a few days." And he went to Africa and ministered over there with the dear saints that were over there in Nigeria. And I can't remember the minister that was the minister there. But anyway, we have a picture of him somewhere with this minister. And anyway, while he was over there working for the Lord, somebody stole his suitcase. He was robbed of his suitcase that had all his extra clothes and everything. You know what that man did? He wore the same clothes the rest of the time he was over there, and he'd go out to a creek and take a bath and wring out his clothes and put them back on wet. Well, what happened? He took malaria. What? I can't understand you.
He had malaria during World War II.
Oh, he did? I didn't know that.
So this was a reoccurrence.
And this is a reoccurrence. He came home and he died. He passed away. I never forget him. I never will forget at a funeral in 1956. I was at the Myrtle Camp Meeting that year. That was the year I got saved. And Brother Murphy Allen's daughter, Shirley Ann Allen, she had the typhoid that had come on the saints at Monarch that year. She had the typhoid, and she died of it. While the meeting was going on at Myrtle, she passed away. And so I was one of the young people that helped sing at her funeral. And we had her graveside out north and kind of to the west of Mansfield, Missouri. Anyway, I was one of the singers, and when we got out there and was having the service out there, Sister Allen, Brother Murphy's wife, asked us to sing Farther Along. Well, I knew one verse That's all I knew, the first verse. Tempted and tried, we're all made to wonder, why we should be on this all the day long. While there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong, yet farther along, you'll know more about it. And so I was told him, I said, well, all I know is one verse. Brother David Madden was there, and he stepped up and he says, there's another verse. Faithful till death, said our loving Master. A few more days to labor and wait. Toils of the road will then seem as nothing when we sweep through the beautiful gate. And I said, well, will you help us sing that? Oh, he told me he had a beautiful voice. I'll never forget. He's a treasure.
Yeah.
I'll never forget him. Someday, I'm going to meet him again. I'm going to have to cut down on my time's about run out here. I'm thinking about some others. I'm just going to mention them. Brother Mark Sammons.
Oh, yeah.
There's a man that I'll cherish his memory. He was a real guy. How did God save that man? He was worldly. He had grown up. He didn't know anything about the truth, about the Lord. And his aim, he wanted to have all, he wanted to make money. He was a barber. And he the last thing that he said he wanted was a Cadillac car. He was hoping that he'd get a Cadillac car. That's the last thing. He's trying to save his money. He wanted a Cadillac. But in the meantime, somehow he got in with the saints at Dayton. Brother William McCoy, the pastor there, and he got in with some of the saints, and they got him down to the altar. And they began to pray with him. And he wanted to be saved. And he prayed, and he just seemed like he couldn't get a hold of it. And some of them said, well, just keep right on. Don't give up. And that man prayed and prayed till finally he prayed through. And God saved him and brought him up from that altar.
Amen.
And then later on, he was sanctified and became one of our ministers. Oh, he was a wonderful brother, wonderful minister. Brother Mark Sammons. Brother Sam Barton. Oh, my. I wish you could have heard him preach. I tell you, he was a wonderful preacher. He was a pastor up at Tulsa. Then we have Brother Isaac Chandler. I want to tell you, there's a man that I cherish. I'll always cherish. I love to hear that man preach the Word. I remember he was having a meeting at Oklahoma City one year. And I had gotten saved and I was living for the Lord. And the Lord, I was even preaching some and all, but the devil was accusing me and giving me problems. And I would get victory, and then it just seemed like the devil was something that just come, oh, you're not even saved. Oh, I tell you, the devil, he's mean. Anyway, I was having some struggles along that. I was doing some better, and then I'd have some struggles again. So we went down to the meeting at Oklahoma City. Brother Isaac Chandler was the minister. And I'll never forget the message that he preached that helped line me out and balance me. Psalm 103 about the mercies of God. I tell you, the way he would bring it out, He didn't talk real fast and he wasn't, but he talked clearly and plainly and distinctly. And he didn't hurry with it. But he was calm and it was just wonderful. And that's, he brought out that message that night about how merciful God is. And I got a vision of that mercy. And that leveled me out. I'll never forget. He helped level me out in my Christian life. Oh, thank the Lord. Brother Isaac Chandler, Sister Catherine Key. She was a minister from Louisiana. She and her husband, Brother Ray Key, worked together for the Lord. They were both ministers. They were good ministers, used of the Lord. Here's another one. Sister Lottie Joyner. Sister Lottie Joyner became Sister Lottie Porter. She married Brother O.C. Porter after Brother O.C. Porter's wife died and after her husband died. But she was a minister in Louisiana. She was a godly, holy, righteous, anointed minister. She really preached it good. And she wrote some songs too. I think we got some of them in the blue book. Sister Lottie Porter. Brother O.C. Porter. He was a pastor here at Guthrie. He was a precious man. I loved him. He and I were close. He was a pastor for several years here at Guthrie. Sister Emma Dilly. How many of you remember Sister Emma Dilly? She was one of the Guthrie members. She was a minister. God called her to preach. And she was a real encouragement to me. She was very dear to my heart. She was old enough to be my grandmother almost. She was born in 1902, I think it was. Anyway, she was quite aged. And I'll never forget about what happened one night. I think it was after she had passed away. But I remember her memory clung to my heart and mind. She was so godly. She's buried out here north of on Highway 77, out north of Ball Hall. She was just a wonderful saint of God. She's a treasure to me. And I remember one night my wife and I, now, I think it was after we had moved to Enid. One night we went to bed one night. We got to talking. We got to talking about people and problems. Problem people and difficulties and this one. And I've named one and that was really something. And then she would name somebody. And we just named problem after problem, problem, burden after problem, and it just got to be a great big old mountain right on top of our heads. You think we felt like going to sleep? There we were. We just got to one after another, all these problems. What are you going to do about them? Well, all of a sudden, something that Sister Emma Dilly said came to my mind so strong, and it just, I tell you what it was. When you're worrying, you're not trusting. When you're trusting, you're not worrying. I mentioned that. You know what happened to all that big old mountain of stuff that the devil put on us? It just, we has gone to sleep in just a little bit. See what a memory? See, I remember her saying those words. And the Lord brought them back to my mind. Sister Catherine Williams. You remember her, don't you? Oh, I don't know. She was an angel to me. And then we'll forget Monarch one time. I was trying to deal with a young man I had some problems with. And it got down on my mind hard. It was pretty heavy. I got troubled about it. I got distressed about this young man I'm trying to deal with. I don't know hardly what to do and how to talk to him. And I was standing back there in the back part of the tabernacle. And I was just bothered and troubled and distressed. And I happened to look over And guess who was walking down the aisle on the east part of the tabernacle? Sister Catherine Williams. When I saw her, it just seemed like an influence of love and comfort and encouragement just came and just filled my whole soul. Just looking at her, just seeing her walking down the aisle. That's the way she was. She was sewing. I never will forget the first time I heard her pray at Oklahoma City meeting. Oh, she get a hold of heaven. It was wonderful. Bless her heart. Sister Edith Wall, Brother Jim Wall's mother. There's another one, another godly person. Brother Ulysses Phillips. How many remember him? I'll tell you what, dear ones. He lived up here out in the country, up by Dover. And they had a little chapel there, and they'd have camp meeting over there. But that man was a man of God. He was a man of God. I'll never forget some of my neighbors in 1956. They came to the camp meeting, some of my neighbors. Well, in fact, one of them was the girl that I had gone with. But somehow they had heard about our camp meeting, and they came to the camp meeting, and they sat back over here. Who would get up in the pulpit, Brother Ulysses Phillips? And I want to tell you, that man preached a powerful message. And mostly it was about being righteous and holy and godly before God, overcoming this world of sin and wickedness. I tell you, I don't know what those people thought about it, but it was a real message. I'll never forget that. Brother Ulysses Phillips, he was a precious man. Him and his little wife, Ella, they were just godly saints. Then, Brother Ralph Beasley at Coffeyville, I got his name here, Brother Ralph Beasley. And his wife, Sister Inez Beasley, his first wife, Sister Martha Beasley, she was a precious saint. She was just in her 40s when she died. But she was a godly woman, faithful and true. Sister Inez Beasley, she was an Eck. She was one of the Eck girls of the Eck family. And she married Brother Ralph Beasley after his first wife died. And then I thought about Sister Velda Ellis. This is Sister over here, her mother. Sister Velda Ellis, she was a godly saint of God. She'd bring her family to the Guthrie camp meeting, and she'd line them up on the bench. She was a wonderful saint. I cherish her memory. Oh, we could have mentioned a whole lot more, but what was my text? The memory of the just is blessed. Maybe some of you would like to tell about some of your memories. You just be free if you want to. I don't know what time it is.
I remember going back about... Thank you. My memory goes back to along the lines where you was. I pretty personally knew about every one of them that you mentioned, except there's two or three of the last I didn't. But I don't want to go into that, but I knew him as Grandpa Tomlinson, Ed Tomlinson. I knew the man from the day that we met him. One Sunday morning, my daddy came in and he said, "Rue, we don't have anything, any place in particular to go today. You want to just go? We'll find a church to go to." I said, "That sounds fine." So we did. We got up and we ended up at Hartville, Missouri. Drove around the square there. I know that the jail was on one side. I had been in there with my daddy visiting some people. This little church was over on the west side. We just decided to go into this little church. And we went in, and if I remember right, service was already commenced. We sat down, we listened. When the minister got through, before they dismissed him, he asked for if there was anything that anybody would like to say. So my daddy took the floor. He quoted some scriptures and left some ideas that he had and all, some biblical teachings and such. And when we started to leave, while people come and wanting to meet him, Daddy always kept some cards. He passed out some cards. And we went home. Next Monday morning, the next day, pretty early, there was a knock on the door. And my daddy had already left. He was gone on a trip somewhere. The man introduced himself, and he says, "Is this Mrs. Gibson?" "Yes." "Well," he said, "ma'am," he said, "I'm Ed Tomlinson." He said, "Your husband was at Hartville yesterday, and my daughter was there. And he had some words to say that my daughter says, 'Dad and Mom, this man you want to meet. Because that he believes like you do.'" And he said, could I have my wife come in?" Mom said, "Certainly you can." I tell you what, this is just, this brings back some memories to me way back. And so they came in. He and his little wife, she's a little gal, and he's a tall man. What a meeting. And like Leslie mentioned, and I won't go into a lot of things, there's so many things I can say about so many of these people that I knew them. But we used to go see the Tomlinsons, and I don't care how busy that man was. He could be in the middle of hay, had the horses tied up out here, but before we left, he said, "Brother Gibson, let's have prayer." Well, we would just get down on the both knees. Both knees went to the floor. And he, both hands went to heaven. And frankly, you may think this sounds strange, but I really believe that Grandpa Tomlinson forgot that he was on earth. I don't really believe that he realized there was humans around him. I never heard such a prayer. As that, in those days, I got a little tired of it, you know. He prayed pretty loud and pretty long. Today, I would give it so much to hear that was prayers again. But what a prayer. I've never heard anything just like it. I mean, it just... he talked to God, and I don't really believe he realized that, like I said, that there was anybody around him. But he has to be one of the most outstanding men that I ever met. And his wife, she was a very precious lady too. But folks, I could go on. George Stevenson, yes. I remember him so well. He came in to see us one time. It was a snowing. He was on a motorcycle. Came to see us at Clovis, New Mexico, and the man was probably about as close to being froze to death as I've ever seen a man. Mom fixed him up some hot postum, and we talked for a while, and he was just shaking. He was just near to being froze up. That's just one of the little stories, but that's, I could go on and on. I've enjoyed this talk that Leslie made. It brought a lot of memories to me.